In this episode of Turn On the Podcast, we talk
the relationship dance.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Turn On the Podcast,
turning you back on to your life. Welcome to episode 181 of Turn On the Podcast. I'm Brad Fennell.
And I'm Tabitha Fennell.
This week we're talking all about...
relationships.
Yeah. Relationships.
Yeah.
They can be tricky.
They certainly can.
They can be blissful.
They can be horrid. Confusing. Not what
orgasmic.
Orgasmic. Not what you think that they would be.
I don't think they're ever what you think they'll be.
True. That's good to know too, isn't it? You know?
It is good to know.
That sometimes what you think you're going to get, it doesn't just happen, but I think you can actually work on it and manifest it and get closer to where you want to be.
You can have an extraordinary journey. There is no doubt about that. Actually, I think the goal of this life is to have an extraordinary journey.
Yeah.
And to go, wow.
Yeah.
And whether that for you is I had a heinous journey and I went all in and did me in a heinous way, or I had an extraordinary journey, or as long as at the end you've done it your way. And relationships are a dance.
Yeah, because it's not just your way, is it? You've got someone else there that wants it their way too.
Yeah, and when you say that it is complex, isn't it? That wants it their way, and what is your way, and sometimes they're picking up your way for you, and sometimes they're up against you for you to pick up your way, and sometimes they're there for you to change, and what the hell do you do?
You get a good therapist.
You get a good therapist, and you unfold the hell out of that shit.
Yeah.
That's the only thing to do.
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's a lot of shame and confusion, or not wanting to talk about what's wrong with your relationship with someone else, you know, and that can stop people from actually sorting through what's going on in their relationship earlier on than waiting to leave it right to the end where you're just looking at each other and going, we can't fix this.
Mm. Yeah, where it's amplifying... So awareness, so the system can actually see itself.
Yes.
So the signal's amplifying, but there is a point where it's like we're done.
Yes.
And sometimes you outlive your myth.
Yeah,
And you are done.
Yeah.
And sometimes...
a lot of the time I don't think you are done, especially if it's early in a relationship and you've got young kids and there's this point, and I think we went through it as well, and I've been seeing a lot of my coaching clients at the moment... going through this process where they've had their children, you know, they might be 2 and 4 years old, or they could just be going off to kindy, and the relationship starts to come back to, the kids are sort of, they're growing up. Where are we in relationship together? And it can be really a beautiful time to grow together, but you can actually look at each other and go, oh, who are you? Oh, what do we have in common when the kids aren't here? So it's a big signpost to go, okay, now you've got to grow as a couple in a different way, because the love and the bliss of bringing up the children, or the fight, or the hardness has kind of got to a plateau where you're... The battle of, getting them to sleep and sleepless nights and...
Survival.
Yeah. So I think it's like, don't give up, because what I'm seeing with my coaching is that... actually just going back to the roots of what you fell in love with really helps. But sometimes you can't actually do that by yourself. So having someone that can help you, guide you back to that and point it out. And even love languages, you know, sometimes we forget how our partner actually wants to be loved and needs to be loved. So it could be, you know, if you're a touchy-feely kind of girl and your man's not touching you enough or cuddling you enough, then you feel rejected and withdrawn. But the guy's not actually, or the partner, doesn't have to be a woman and man, the partner doesn't pick up that, oh, that's right, to, you know, I'm listening to her and but she actually needs me to be looking at her or touching her. Mm. So it's so important to find out how your partner wants love and intimacy and affection and what makes them happy.
Yeah, it's so true.
Because I think we forget it. And maybe even from the beginning we don't even learn it properly. Mm. We just kind of go, oh, they like that. Right, I'll keep doing that.
Mm. Yeah. We don't learn anything really around relationships.
No, there's unless you've got a really good role model, but there's not a lot of that going around either. And then when you get kids involved or a business that you're trying to grow, or it gets tricky.
It gets really tricky. Mm. And you're right, by understanding kind of your relationship myth, understanding where you fell in love with, you can have some signals to the relationship, but you can have a lot of signals towards yourself as well. Mm. And there was an interesting study that showed, in a sense, if one person is in a complex.
Yes.
And
a complex is?
Complex when, how do I put it in easy terms?
Like a mood
you're
or...
You're in your stuff.
You're in your stuff.
You've been triggered.
Yeah.
You can't get out of it. You're in a mood that you feel stuck in and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And what was interesting about the study is only one person needed to be out of that.
Yep.
To actually facilitate change in the relationship.
Right.
And one of the ways I look at this is that complex, in a sense, is your little you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your smallness.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with your little you. The little you is the one that doesn't have the answers, doesn't know what the hell to do.
Yes.
But the question is, how much time do you want to spend in that? Ideally, you want to access your big you.
Yeah.
Which the little you is a part of that. It's a part of who you are, but your overall being.
Yes.
When you have access to that, that's the part that holds you, that has the answers.
Yeah.
And ideally, when one person's big you meets another person's big you, good lordy.
Yeah, yeah.
When two little yous meet, good lordy.
Yuck.
But to me, what that study's saying is you only need one person in their big you.
Yeah. So if your partner doesn't want to grow or go to therapy, then you go to therapy grow.
Like crazy.
Because that'll help them, like you've just said, move and change or depart or move away.
And there's just nothing more interesting.
Yeah.
Than really stepping into your own power.
Yes. Well, if you don't step into your own power, you get body symptoms or you get sick or you feel depressed or, you know, body symptoms are big when you're not in that big process in your secondary self.
When you're in emotional pain, you pretty much can guarantee there'll be some kind of physical pain going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, we know this from studies when people are emotionally, one of the things that you can do for physical pain is feel a sense of happiness. You know, my mum, who, you know, had cancer all through her bones.
Yes.
When she was dancing, she had a moment of flow.
Yeah.
A moment of, you know, and at times there
peace
was an afterwards.
And no pain.
That's right. And we all know that experience.
Yes.
When we have this pain that suddenly disappears because we are in a sense, a state of free flow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so finding and having access to that is really important. And then bringing your wholeness back to the relationship.
Yeah.
Look, for me, I think using the relationship as a feedback loop for your own growth.
Yes. Oh, my God, it's the biggest place for growth.
Yeah, this can be your heroic journey.
Yeah, yeah. And it's often when you think, oh, this is it, this is the end, I can't. We're not meant to be together. We've drifted apart. One's over there, one's over there. How do we get back across the abyss? Mm. Often that's where it's like an edge. You're in your relationship, you're coming to this big moment to go, are we really meant to be together? What have we got together?
Mm.
And it's change, and change is scary. Mm. So it's time. Often when it gets that bad, that scariness, it is time to change and move and find new ways to bring your next phase back into your relationship.
And something that you said there about change
mm.
and the excitement that radical change can bring to your life.
Yeah.
That you're called to, that yes. you're no longer
yep.
feeling locked in.
Yeah.
And changing yeah. together. How do we?
Yeah.
Because you can actually in a relationship lock each other in.
Yes. To doing the same roles, to for being you're the sad person, you're the happy person, you're the motivated person, you're not the motivated person.
Yeah, and those roles mm. can really get locked because that role is taken
yep.
and held, and you yes. feel yourself when you're with yep. someone,
mm.
suddenly I'm stuck in this other role, this yeah. other way of being.
Yeah.
And how to actually facilitate, you know, radical change.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's got to start with love. If you can still love that person and you still love that person in the relationship that you're in, then there's possibilities.
I think that's everything.
Yeah.
I think coming from a place where you deeply care and love the other
yeah.
is really, really powerful.
Yeah.
Beyond lust.
Yes.
But actually going, you know, we've done so much of this journey together.
Yeah.
And having that as the foundation.
Mm. And often when you work with couples as well, they actually know the way out.
Yeah.
Often they just sort of think, oh, it can't be that easy, or, mm. oh, no, that won't work, mm. or do you find that?
Fully.
So if you have a good therapist or coach, they're just there actually to follow you and help you pick that up. And sometimes if you're learning new ways of interacting with your partner, it can feel a bit clunky and a bit gross, and it's ways the therapist it can give you ways to bring that into your relationship, and also to say it's okay when you're learning new things about each other, even though you've been together for 5 or 10 or 2 years or more. It's okay that it feels clunky because it's a new learning, it's change, it doesn't have to feel flowy and sexy. And but if you're trying something new and you're seeing the feedback of your partner's really positive and into it, well, then the more you try it, the more joy and love you're going to get back from them.
Mm. And at times therapy can feel flowy and sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, my best work happens when I know nothing.
Yep.
When I sit back curiously and trust the process,
yeah,
and
yeah.
what's evolving, and yes. that in a sense,
yeah,
the
yeah.
answers are all there,
yeah,
and I can sit and help mm. that to unfold,
yeah,
more fully,
yeah, because they might be shy about it or think, no, that's not possible, or well, that's ridiculous.
Here's the best part of best part of therapy is in a sense. You have a space
mm.
where you get to bring what you perceive as shameful.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Generally, I mean, that's just mm. a part of it. It's mm. like you come mm. in and go, I feel shameful about this. Is this yeah. a safe space
yes.
where this can be unfolded? Because generally,
yeah.
it's going to have a superpower aspect.
Yeah.
If you've marginalized that part of yourself and disliked it that much,
yep.
chances are underneath it is mm. gold.
Yeah.
And really facilitating and moving that process, allowing it to evolve and come yep. up. But you mm. have to have a place. That's partly why you can't do this on your own.
Yeah.
You
yes.
can do
yeah.
it on your own, but it's yes. hard.
Yeah.
Because
it is.
Can you
especially
hold
when you're already in locked in roles and trauma and, yeah, crisis.
Yeah, I'm shameful about this part of myself. Yeah. How the hell
yeah.
can I hold this? I need someone else to hold that for me.
Yeah. yeah.
Even momentarily.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also a lot of people feel like they need to know what's going on and to actually turn up to therapy and go, we've been trying this, this and this, and it's not working, we're useless.
Better to not know.
It is, isn't it? Totally. Better to not know.
Better to be utterly lost in the woods.
Exactly.
And I'll come in. I'll bring a packed lunch.
Exactly.
We'll walk through the woods
and
together.
Exactly.
I like constantly yep. the boys laugh at me because yep. when we go bushwalking, they go, we're lost.
Yes.
And, you know, the famous thing when they were small was like, we're not lost.
Yes.
Just don't know where we are.
Which they'd go, oh, Dad. Yeah. Yeah.
And so let's get lost.
Yeah.
Let's get fucking lost. Yeah,
and find some yummy jewels along the way to go, yes, this is what's missing. This is the juice that's missing.
Chances are your relationship, this just came to me, chances are your relationship actually needs to get more lost.
Yeah. Yeah,
chances
yeah.
Chances are it's
yeah, that's what all I was trying to say before. When it together. Gets really lost, then that's when you know things are gonna about to change.
Yeah, that's when you suddenly walk out of the forest and there's a stinking waterfall there. And yeah. You're like, wow, I didn't beautiful. Know that. Yeah, I'd never walked this way.
Exactly.
I'd always walk this path that yes. was trodden.
Yes.
Where here's this other way yeah. where there is no path.
Yeah.
And then we discover something new. Yeah. I mean, that's partly when you I mean, we were just up at Double Island,
Rainbow Beach.
Mm-hmm. And you almost have to walk to the edge of the sand dune.
Yeah.
Because you have to see what's over there. You have
yeah,
to...
when we went onto the big low sand dune. Yeah. That just goes blows. For meters and meters.
Yeah, the power. And then you sit there and you go, whoa, I want to be like that sand that
it's
can take
slowly,
over.
Slowly demolishing trees.
I know, like, I'm big, I'm a sand dune.
But it's
hello.
Moving slowly, so slowly we don't even know it's moving.
That's power, my friend, isn't it? Like, that's what I thought. I thought,
that's Mother Nature.
Fuck me. That's fucking powerful. I want to be sand dune like.
And taking its time. Yeah.
Taking its time.
Yeah.
Just I don't take enough time.
Slowly, creepingly, yeah.
I'm just being a sand dune here.
Yeah, I love it. Nice like, sand dune.
Yeah. Slowly. You know that. Slowly.
And you need slowly in relationship. Yeah. And things need to, because things can get so strong and.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the word, like fast and hot. And in therapy it needs to be slowed down so you both feel supported. And get a lot of women actually saying, oh, but I don't think my husband would want to come along and talk because they'd feel like they'll be getting, you know, it's all their fault. And I said, well, in therapy it shouldn't be like that. It takes two to tango always. And even if you might think you're the most right person, you've got some dynamic that's going to play off against the other person with how they're reacting. So therapy should never be, it's all your fault and you've got to change and this is what you need to do to one person. It's the whole person. You're there together, you know. We all need to change in different ways. And slowly and little bits.
And when
bits,
you and say it, that, I say back, yes, it is all my fault and I haven't made it enough my fault. And it needs to be more my fault. And when it's really my fault, things get hot and interesting.
Very good.
Exciting.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
Because you can be held to discover the other, the parts. So in the moment there, it's like the man goes, I can't go to therapy.
Yes.
I'm going to get blamed. It's going to be all my fault. But
I won't know the answers.
There is. That's what the research. It was
Isn't
something,
it funny? Yeah. You don't want to go to therapy because you don't know the answers to how your relationship's going, but your relationship's shit because you don't know the answers. But you won't go to somewhere because you think you haven't got the answers where actually you need to go to someone so they can help you facilitate the organic
not answers. Knowing the answers.
That's right, exactly, or not knowing the answers, yes.
No, but also it depends on the process.
Totally, because sometimes it is just deep and wild like you're talking about, not knowing the answers, and other times it's just like actually you just need to, when you talk to her, look in her eyes across the room. When the kids are running around crazily, you need to connect to her eyes.
It's a good place to start.
It's a beautiful place to start and it's so simple. But if you're not doing it, then the other person's thinking, oh, you're just we're in the room together and we're not even connected. And then if you understand your myth of how you first were attracted to that person, there's jewels there of how your interaction has been lost from that moment.
Yeah. And there's never just the two of you in the relationship.
No,
that's the thing.
My God.
Like, I can't look at you in the eyes.
Yes.
Because once I looked at Aunt Martha and she said, what are you looking at? And so Aunt Martha's in the room.
Yeah.
And so I learned how to, like, if I'm quiet over here.
It's too intimate.
it's too intimate. It's like, oh my God, when I look into your eyes, I get lost and I fall into an orgasmic bliss.
And I and really that's not see appropriate. How much I love you and how much you turn me on.
And you might leave me.
Yeah.
And then I'll be brokenhearted. Yeah. And then I'll be a real ball on the ground. But how magic, because that's suddenly relieving. I come out and say that to you and part of you goes, oh, what a relief. I thought you just hated me.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Hated you?
Yeah.
No, I can't look at you because you're going to break my heart.
Yes.
And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
That's right. We do love each other.
I remember. Yeah.
What does that make you think?
Yeah, it makes me think that, you know, as couples, partners, marriage, you need that outside part to actually go, see, when you looked at her in the eyes, her feedback was her, she was full and happy and giggled, where it's hard when we're in relationship to actually see that when stuff's going on. But we also do know how to turn our partner on and how to make them happy. Mm. But I think we all get stuck in a little bit of how to make them sad and depressed and angry at each other, you know? And sometimes that's a little bit easier because you know the pattern. It's so weird, but it's true, don't you think?
I'm just sitting here and like blown away and thinking, how true is it? I'm really good at making you sad and miserable.
Yeah, and stuck. Heavy and energy, and we look at each other and go, and where it's just a twist of their brain cells to go, actually, you know what? I want to change it to the other side.
Yeah.
Of bliss and happiness and depth and love.
Choose a radical life and a radical relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
and don't forget the relationship when you've got, you know, kids and lifestyle work going on, because we often do. We put all the energy into other people outside, or it could be the mother or the mother-in-law, or I don't know. We tend to forget about the relationship between each other and put other people ahead of that. You've got to put the relationship ahead and above everything at some points.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
There has to be moments of that.
Yeah.
And
regular moments. It doesn't have to be long, but it has to be connection time. Time to be together, to recognize, oh, yeah, we do love each other and we love hanging out and we love to talk or we love to do sport together or whatever it is. Yeah. But if you don't have that time and it's all just kids, or all just work, or then watch out. That's when the cracks come in. That's when the void comes in of, oh, we're on two different ships and we're sailing away from each other.
Yeah.
How do I get across those waters back to each other?
And I think one of the aspects of that is doing your own radical work as well. There is also in relationship aspect of individual work.
Yeah, it has to always.
Yeah. And when you bring a new version, a really interesting version of yourself.
Yeah.
I truly believe you can almost have anyone you want in a sense when you really connect. You can turn your partner on.
Yes.
When you connect to your own radical nature.
Yeah, yeah.
The most interesting part of yourself that interests you.
And that's what's the radical part.
That's what's the radical part. The radical part is you have to...
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to be out there running around like a wild thing. It could be your loving, soft nature or your adventurous spirit. That's
Your loving, soft nature. It can be
a radical.
It's like a what is my radical statement to this life, this, you know. Some people's radical statement is deep sense of love for nature or love for people or love for the displaced or love, you know, and some other people's radical nature is a warrior-like fight.
Yeah. Get in amongst it
and know, I don't know your radical nature. Bring you to the relationship.
Yeah, do your inner work around it.
Love.
And if you're getting body symptoms and you're stressed and your immune system's dropping down or whatever, then that's a big sign that things need to change.
Yes. What was that book's name, The Barometer? The Body is the Barometer,
yeah,
the Soul or something?
That's right.
It was a great title.
Yeah, that's so true.
So true. Mm. And there's always these body symptoms.
Arise up and annoy you.
And sometimes those body symptoms are connected to not just you individually, but to the relationship or the family system.
Oh my goodness, totally.
Watching the family system where it's hot or there's something interesting going on, that won't just be about that individual.
No.
It'll be about somehow you're all in that system, in that game together.
Yeah.
And
all trying to grow and be who you are.
Yeah. Which is more fun.
Yeah.
And I think have the most interesting relationship that you possibly can.
Yeah.
However, I'm not saying that should look any way. You're right. I'm so glad you said when I said radical.
Yeah.
My radical should be nobody else's radical.
That's right.
That's why it's your own radical. I don't have the answer to your relationship.
No.
But I have the ability to sit curiously and dance.
Yeah.
With the relationship that's wanting to dance in a second. In a
totally.
Sense, the relationship sitting on the wall,
you
know, not being willing to come out and saying, you can come and dance.
Yeah.
Dance your dance.
Totally.
Whatever dance. Dance your own silly. Isn't that a fun thing if we all had our own silly dance?
Well, I think we do. It's called life.
We do have our own silly dance. And we're trying to pretend that we don't.
Yeah.
We're trying to do everyone else's dance.
Yeah.
And that is never good in relationship.
No. And I think that's how important knowing your myth with each other in relationship, because it's just what it is that brings us together. Is this myth.
Mm.
And if we understand it and know how to use it and bring it out of each other, then, oh my goodness, you've got a tool there to go back to go, oh, hang on a minute, what's missing again?
Mm.
And that's why we created Understanding What Love Wants, which is just a beautiful little online course that you can do together if you're feeling a little bit separated or, you know, not connecting.
Yeah.
Everyone, I think, should know their myth. It should be a vital, going to get married, then this is what you've got to do.
Yeah,
you've got to know your myth. Yeah. So that could be something if you're floundering. Or even if you're not floundering, you just want to.
It's on special. I'll turn on the podcast. You can go and grab that.
Yeah. Beautiful. But, you know, you don't have to be in chaos or crisis to do this course either, because it's a beautiful, intimate connection.
And I think we're all in crisis anyway. We're called human.
Well, that's right, exactly.
In a crisis of being human.
Yeah, and being in relationship, that's where we learn, you know, about ourselves, about who we are, about why we're here.
Mm. Mm. About a little more about our own unique dance.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Amazing. Thank you, as always, for being part of this.
Until next time.